ओम ज्ञानेति नरं दस्य तनं जन शवाकय चक्षुर्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकृतामायं ददाति सपदान्तिकम् वंशकौपातृभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभयेभ्य च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're studying Jiva Dharma and the beautiful story of people coming to Krishna consciousness by the transcendental system that connects the desire of the soul to find God with the external manifestation of God in the heart, which is the Guru. So therefore, we can travel widely and preach and find these people, but we can also practice our Krishna consciousness very strictly, and Krishna will also direct the people. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the best preacher is a bhajanandi who preaches, someone who really cultivates. We can't forget this important aspect of spiritual life. Sometimes it happens, just like I was in Italy, and I have one godbrother there. He's my age. He was the temple president when Naranjan Swami joined. His name was Treda. And his wife, Krishnaloka. And to this day, he maintains himself by distributing Prabhupada's books. And he was always kind of lamenting, where are the people coming? Where are the people coming? You know? And then all of a sudden, now it's practically one of the most successful temples. I mean, just so many Western people are coming. I went there because I felt like a person so sincere, he's asking me for so many years, how can I refuse? I can't refuse for any reason. I can't refuse to go. If he's a pure devotee, and him and his wife, and if they request me, so I went. I went a couple of years ago, and I went again. I can't refuse. And this time, the two biggest yoga studios in Bologna, one city near it, called Ravenna or something, both teachers became serious devotees. So serious that they're in yoga studios, right? Practically, they teach Krishna consciousness. If you don't like it, you can go, kind of. They're so successful, and I gave a seminar to 40 teachers. And, you know, really, and one has taken initiation from Matsya Avatar, another one. But you can see the transcendental system. If you present Krishna consciousness nicely and appropriately, then Krishna sends people. He just sends people sometimes in different ways. So, and Krishna has his own timeline. But so they're in Gojram and they're just chanting Hare Krishna, and so many people are coming. And as they come, the story is, according to who they are, they need different aspects of Krishna consciousness clarified. Right? If a Mayavadi comes, he needs one tattva. If a Gujarati who grow up in a Hindu family, he needs another tattva, right? A hippie comes, needs another tattva. different people. So this way, according to the people that come, all the subjects of Krishna consciousness are covered in this one book. So now we're up to a thing where these people from Godrum visit this other place where these Babaji's are living, and they have a Nityavai. Somewhere with Lord Nityananda. And then another group came, and they're all doing kirtan, and they're all discussing how Gaur Leela leads to Krishna Leela. And then for one of these groups, one young man asks, he wants to know what is Vaishnava, how should Vaishnavas behave? So then they have to figure out, well, who will answer his question? Well, there's one Babaji there. He's 102 years old. His name is Haridas. They said Haridas will answer it. But then Haridas said, no, Paramahamsa Babaji from Godrum should answer it. Then Paramahamsa Babaji from Godrum said, no, Vaishnav Babaji, my disciple, will answer it. He was a big Vaishnav. He was Sannyas Thakur. He was a big Mayavadi sannyasi. And he was meditating in Benares when the kirtan party came by. Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. And his heart, he was just like, he became so drawn. But he was already practically liberated. So when he came, he had already studied all the Vedas. He was so disciplined. So he became very learned in Vaishnava philosophy. So a lot of times they engage him that way. So now he's answering the question. He says there's two groups of people. There's Krishna Bahamukha and Krishna Punmukha. There's people that turn towards Krishna and turn away. And he said, for those who have the moral principles, who are somehow or other moving towards Krishna, then he said there's 10 characteristics of their behavior, and they're determined, and they're forgiving, and they have, you know, all these good qualities. He said, but these duties are prescribed to people in general. Mayavadi can have all these qualities, but none clearly indicate Hari Bhajan. So he says, for a Vaishnav, it's not just having all these qualities, but he has to know how to behave as a devotee also. So that's the question. And then he said, these duties, so he said, and then he quotes from the Bhagavatam to show that you must, the real thing is you have to be a devotee. You have to be a devotee of Krishna. And he quotes from the Bhagavatam, Savidvara Hoshta Karai, Samstita Parshap, Yakana Pajok, Jatanam. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they glorify other such men who don't glorify Krishna. So he comes to the Bhagavatam, you must glorify Krishna. So he said, the real question, Vaishnava Das says, is not how just people in general should behave, but how should devotees behave. They should also follow these qualities, but there's something more. And then he describes that there's three adhikaris. There's Kanishtha adhikari, Madhyama adhikari, and Uttama adhikari. So if you want to know how a devotee should behave, you should know what are the characteristics of different qualifications of devotee. So he describes that the Kanishtha adhikari, he just worships the deity, but he doesn't see the devotees. And it's going to explain that if you have this mentality, right, you have some motive. You're not yet a pure devotee. You're not practicing Shuddha Bhakta. It usually comes from family tradition. Your father worshiped you. And we see that in India. People worship, they have faith for Krishna, but they don't have any other habits. This is Kanishtha Adhikari. And then he quotes a verse that's showing that without the worship of the devotee, your worship of Krishna and your behavior towards others cannot be elevated. And he quotes, Isyatma Buhe Kunape Tadatuke Sridi Kalatadisha Ichabomadi. You know, one who, different, you have four types of relationships with the body, with others, with the form of God, and with the holy place. But he said, in these relationships, if you don't worship the devotee, none of these relationships will be perfect. You have to worship the devotee. You must worship people who, you must respect people who respect God and others. Because he's going to describe how someone who is a devotee of God, he has some understanding of God. And you have understanding of God, you have understanding of those who are dedicated to God. And you don't neglect them. So he's going to explain this. And to arise above Kanishka, the beginning person, the neophyte who just sees God and doesn't see the people who serve God and doesn't see the people in the world, he just sees God on the altar. To come to a higher platform, you must worship the God in transcendental consciousness. Not just worship the deity, but understand God in the hearts of others. Otherwise, it becomes hypocrisy. It's just like if a husband or a wife treats each other very nicely publicly, but then when they get home, they're nasty to each other. It means they don't love each other. So if you worship Krishna in the deity form, but then you don't worship him in as he's manifest in the hearts of those who hold him in terms of the devotees, it's not a very high-level worship of Krishna. It's kind of, imagine being nice to someone publicly, and then in home, you're not nice, so it means you're not nice. If you just worship the deity of Krishna, right, publicly, but you don't, you see, because previously in previous ages, deity worship was started, it started in Treta Yuga by the sages. There was no deity worship before Treta Yuga. And the reason is, people were so elevated that they would worship God as manifest in the hearts of others, that according to people's Krishna consciousness, they are manifesting God in their hearts. So people didn't worship the deity. They would just worship devotees. It says in the Bhagavatam, that in Treta Yuga, the sages saw that people were not pure enough to worship God in others, and people weren't pure enough to manifest God in themselves. So they had to establish the deity worship. They had to establish the deity worship. But if you just worship God in the form of the deity, you see people in temples, they're so dedicated to the deity, but there's all nonsense with everyone else. It means that they're not in transcendental consciousness. They don't really, because to understand Krishna properly, Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilana Bhakta Uttama. So your activities follow God, but God includes his devotees. You're not having a full understanding of God, and therefore, because you have some motive in your heart for yourself, and you're approaching God in that way. You're approaching God not just to love God, but to get something from God. And generally that happens when you don't have some bandhagyan, when you don't have metaphysical knowledge, when you don't understand really what God is. When you don't understand really what God is, then you don't have a pure heart in worshiping God. So you must have this. So then, and we'll get today, it's so he says, the worship of the deity that lacks this knowledge of the relationship between different aspects of transcendental reality is simply found in custom or traditional regard. In other words, the worship of the deity, where you don't understand God's devotees, you don't even maybe understand the relationship between the soul and God, and you have misconceptions of God being material, you don't have the real, that's in custom and tradition. You come in a family of Brahmins and you get the worship of the deity. They don't give you the sambandhyan, the real depth of understanding. And he said, worship of the deity. He said, it's good. It's the beginning of bhakti. It's kanishta adhikari. And he said, that's called shaya bhaktavas. It's a shadow of bhakti. It's an avas. Avas means like there's a faint light of bhakti. A little shadow of bhakti. It's not the full bhakti. But that's higher than what's called Kriti Bimba Bhakti Vas. That's higher when you have an offensive mentality. So they're glorious, but generally these people at best they can be moral, and they don't have the behavior of a Vaishnava because they don't have that discrimination. They can't see who is God, who is the devotee. And the Madhyamadhikari, one who has some understanding, he worships God, and he worships the pure devotees, he makes friends with the devotees, he worships God and the pure devotees, he makes friends with the devotees, he enlightens the innocent, and those who are inimical he avoids. So he has that kind of discrimination. And that type of discrimination, where you have such deep bhakti that you really can worship God, you really can worship the devotees, you really can make friends with other devotees, people who don't know, you can show compassion to, and you avoid those who are inimical. That's Nitya Dharma. That's the nature of the soul. That type of behavior is actually coming from the soul. It's coming from the nature of soul, the consciousness that's reaching its fruition in love of Godhead. You're actually seeing through the soul. It's the way you eternally behave. It's not just some temporary behavior in this life. It's really the nature of the soul. And of course, someone who has that devotional thing, he also is determined and he's forgiving and he has all these other qualities. And this kind of behavior, it's really Shuddha Bhakti. When you become Madhyamadhikari, it means middle qualification, and you see God, you worship God, and you know how to be friends with the devotees, and you're compassionate for others, then it's indicating that in your heart, your motive is actually to please God. And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is the feeling in the heart that I should please God. And it's not mixed with any other thing. It's not done to you. Like when you worship the deity, right? And you just see God and the deity, then your motive is something in your motive that I also want for myself. It's not this. So this is prema. Prema is when the consciousness is, it's just to please God. And therefore, Madhyamadhikari means anya bilashita shunyam, dhyanakar madhyanabhritam, anukuyena krishnade. He has no other desire but to please God. And therefore his activities are always done with that intention. So you see, there's a connection between how you worship the deity, how you treat the devotees, and the level of purity in your heart. And we see it. We see some people that they just decorate the deities nicely, but they don't deal nicely with others. They're not involved. But someone who's evolved, they're loving God, and they're loving others in all ways. They're loving those who are higher by worshiping them. They're loving others who are equal by exchanging such deep friendship. They're loving others who are innocent by compassionately giving them knowledge. And they're loving others who are inimical by avoiding them and preventing them from creating more offenses. So the only characteristic of the Kanishtha Adhikari is, and it's the beginning, is that he worships the deity with some faith. He worships the deity with some faith. So now, that's kind of a summary of where we're at. And now we'll read. And it's a very interesting section because this Vaishnav Babaji is now going to explain a little bit more about Madhyam Kanishtha, beginning qualification, Madhyam middle qualification, and Uttam topmost qualification. So we'll read a little bit and discuss. He says, bhakti that is imbued with such characteristics is found in the sadhana practices of Madhyam Vaishnav and extends up to the stages of bhava and praying. So Madhyam means his intentions are only to please Krishna. He doesn't worship the deity for money. He doesn't worship the deity for prestige. He worships the deity simply to please Krishna. And when you have that consciousness in your heart, then you practice pure devotional service when you just do it to please Krishna. And you practice it as a madhyam and at bhava and praying. You practice uttama bhakti, the topmost devotional service, which is you really intend to please Krishna. He says the only characteristic in bhakti of the Kanishtha is service of the deity with faith. And when a person is like that, he does not have the characteristics of uttama bhakti, in other words, anyabhilashita, he's not free from other motives, jnana karma navritam, he's not free from fruitive activities, impersonal understanding, and anukuyena Krishna, and he's not fixed in endeavors to serve Krishna in a favorable mood. A Kanishtha is considered to have become a madhyam and a genuine devotee when bhakti with these symptoms manifest in his heart. You become madhyam when you really just want to, and we say it, we know who's that. We know who worships the deity we're talking today. We're with bhakti, right? Who's really doing it with bhakti? Because it extends to the devotees. It's a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not just a Vaishnava when he's on the altar. He's a Vaishnava when he is dealing with all sorts of people. So this Vaishnava Das Babaji, now we're getting into a nice part of Jiva Dharma. He's beginning to discuss Krishna consciousness. Prior to this stage, he's a Prakriti Bhakta, which means it's only a semblance of bhakti or a semblance of Vaishnava. A bas means like the sun at dawn. There's not full heat and light. There's something. So a Kanishtha, a beginning person, there's something of love. There's something of dedication. But it's not shining. The word Krishna Shilanam refers to love for Krishna is qualified by the words anukuyena. He's going back to this verse. What is really the madhyam? He has love for Krishna, and he's intended to please Krishna. It's his intention in his heart. This refers to those things that are favorable to Krishna praying, namely friendship with the bhaktas, mercy towards the ignorant, neglect of those who are inimical, These three symptoms are the symptoms of a Madhyam Vaishnava. He's compassionate to others. It's not just focused on the deity. I love Radha Govind. I love Radha Murali Dutt. But he has compassion to others. And he has and he exchanges with the devotees so nicely. The dati pritta grinati. He gives gifts. He accepts gifts. Guyashi pritchati. He's always explaining to people or inquiring from people, bhukte bhojite, giving prasad, accepting prasadam. So, the second characteristic of Madhyam Vaishnav, so now he's going to discuss the first characteristic is he worships, dedicates himself to God and the devotees, the pure devotees, and he makes friendship towards the devotees, in whose hearts the Shuddha Bhakta has appeared. So if he makes friendship with those devotees and who are submissive to Srihari's will. And that's what it is. Whether you are centering yourself, your own enjoyment, or whether you're putting God in the center and wanting to serve. It's really, humility and bhakti is this connection to something greater than yourself that you're part of. If you're part of something greater than yourself, then the will of that is your self-interest. The will of that is your dharma. So we understand what is a pure devotee? He's trying to find the will of Krishna, not his own selfish desire. The will of Krishna, not his selfish desire. Kanishtha bhaktis are not Shuddha bhaktis fully submissive to Sri Hari. So Kanishthas, they're not yet. It's like when you go to the deities, someone puts a bag of rice on the altar and says, oh Krishna, get my daughter married. That's their desire. What is Krishna's desire? So Kanishthas, they're not fully submissive to Krishna's will, to God's will, and have faith in that will. Because God's will, God's will is not that you're the center of the world and everything moves to your enjoyment. God's will is that you understand his position and you purify yourself to become a pure servant. God's will is harmony. But God of the Yadunandana Pat, he sent me a link to this lecture by Srila Bhakti Rakshita Srila Maharaj. And he made a very interesting point about harmony. Harmony is beauty. Right? In music, harmony means that everything fits together nicely. Harmony means everything is serving. If something's in harmony, it means it's serving something greater than itself. That's what harmony means. Right? Even in music, there's a concert, everything is serving there's a song, there's a symphony, everything is serving that's harmony. And in art, it's called, he said, beauty. So it's a beautiful painting, everything is serving the painting, it's not something individual. So all anxiety, disharmony, everything is caused when one has a separate interest from God. It causes disturbance. Separate interest causes disturbance. It causes disturbance in family. It causes disturbance in community. It causes disturbance in the world. There has to be harmony. That means there has to be something we are connected with greater than our individual will. So, Kanishthas are not fully submissive to God's will. There's some interest for themselves. And they look at the deity in regard to that. and they don't offer respect or hospitality to the pure devotees. Therefore, Madhyams and Uttams are the only suitable people to develop intimate friendship with. The intimate friendship should be developed with people who are surrendered to God's will. And if they're not, then you show compassion to them, but they're not your intimate friends. So now he tells, in three successive years, the devotees of Kulingam asked Mahaprabhu, what is the symptom of a Vaishnava? What is a Vaishnava? And by what are the symptoms by which he can be recognized? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied by instructing them about Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishtha. I'm not sure. I have to remember. But each year he gave them a different instruction. And one instruction, you know, was like the instruction for Kanishtha. What is a Kanishtha? The next, what is a Madhyam? What is an Uttam? Now, according to the characteristics of his description, all three of these classes, as he described them, meet the standards as defined for Madhyam and Uttama of Vaishnava. So he actually described what's Uttama or Madhyam. None of them, when he said what is a Vaishnava, none of them corresponded to what is a Kanishtha, one who worships God in the temple. And it's going to be described. They all, when they asked Lord Chaitanya each year what is a Vaishnava, anything he responded was either Madhyam or Uttam. And it's going to describe. He said, none of them corresponded to the Kanishthas who are only capable of worshiping the deity form because they do not utter Shuddha Nam. They can't chant the name purely when you have separate interests. Their chanting is Chaya Nam Bas. Chaya Nam Bas refers to a semblance of the pure name by ignorance and an art is like the sun covering the clouds, which does not manifest its full brilliance. So now, the Kanishtha, he just worships the deity. He has a limited viewpoint. There's some personal motive in his heart. And he can't chant the pure name, because the pure name is born in the heart. So Mahaprabhu instructed Madhyam Adhikari married Vaishnavas to serve the three kinds of Vaishnavas, which he described as follows. One from whom's mouth Krishna Nam is heard even once. One from whose mouth Krishna Nam is heard constantly. And one whose very sight spontaneously invokes chanting of Krishna Nam. All these three types of Vaishnavas are worthy of service, but this is not true for one who utters Nam Bas and not Shuddha Krishna Nam. Only Vaishnavas who utter Shuddha Nam are worthy of service. And that means Anya Bilashi Tasunam. There's no desire in their heart. We are instructed to serve Vaishnavas in accordance with their respective levels of advancement. The word Maitri signifies, as it says, you should make friendship. So it signifies association, conversation, and service. Your association, who you with, how you speak to them, and how you serve them. So as soon as one sees a pure Vaishnava, one should welcome him and offer him respect, offer him a seat, and converse with him to fill his needs as far as possible. So when you see a pure Vaishnava, you welcome him, you offer a seat, you give sweet words and fulfill their needs as possible. One should serve them in all these ways, and one should never criticize him or show him disrespect, even if his appearance is unattractive or he has some disease. So the whole question was, how do we behave towards Vaishnavas? It's according to their anakari, whether we make friends with them or whether we show them compassion, or whether we have to avoid people. So beautiful. So this is the characteristic. In the Bhagavatam, time, when Krishna comes into the forest of Vrindavan, peacocks show their beauty. Peacocks show their beauty. The does, Ira was here this morning, she brought in the offering, we looked out the window, there were so many deers prancing in the forest. And we just thought of, you know, when Krishna walks in the forest, how pleasing it is. They're so beautiful, the deer. They show their affection, and the cuckoos and the birds sing, and it says the sadhya sintam. What is the symptom of a devotee? That they offer the best to other devotees. That's the symptom of a devotee. You offer the best to other devotees. So the third characteristic of the Madhyam Vaishnava is he bestows mercy on the ignorant. The word belief bhavisha refers to people ignorant of spiritual truth, bewildered, or foolish. It means materialistic people have not received any genuine guidance in spiritual matters, but have not been contaminated by unauthorized doctrines such as Mayavadi. So what does it mean? The materialistic, they haven't received any guidance. They don't have any philosophies that are inimical to God, like impersonalism. They're not envious of the bhaktis or the devotees, but their mundane egoism and attachments prevents them from developing faith in Hari. Learning scholars also belong in this scholar category if they have not attained the highest fruit of study, which is to develop faith in Sri Hari. So those people we show compassion to. They're not inimical, but they're not yet devotees. The Kanishtha Adhikari, I'm going to finish now in just a few minutes. The Kanishtha Adhikari, the beginning devotee, or the Prakrita Bhakta, the materialistic devotee, same thing, is standing at the doorway to the temple of bhakti. But because of ignorance in the principles of Sambandha Gyan, he has not yet attained Shuddha Bhakti. See, he doesn't understand. He's not the body. He doesn't understand fully yet how he's not God. He doesn't understand, really realize the spirituality. He doesn't understand. And such a person is regarded as balisha, or ignorant, until he comes to the platform of pure devotional service. He's still offering the rice and the fruits on the altar, but until he understands, no, the purpose of worshiping the deity is not just to ask some things for myself, but to see how I can please Krishna. So until he comes to that platform, he's still Kanishtha Adhikari. And he won't come to that platform unless he hears good instructions from a pure devotee, who tells him that, no, the purpose of, and I was thinking, even myself, what happened is I didn't have understanding of God. And then, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By wandering from universe to universe to species, like, then you get the Guru and Krishna, you get the seed of devotion. You get the seed of devotion. And the seed of devotion is that sense that what I should be doing and what the highest sublimity is to serve, not to enjoy, but to get enjoyment out of service, not to get enjoyment out of material pleasure. To get enjoyment by not enjoying. To get happiness by service. And that realization only comes when you hear, you get the understanding. That's why Prabhupada said books are the basis. That's why we hear it. And you can see, you've been there, see your wife watching so many people, right? If they don't get to Sambandha Gyan, they can't chant Shuddha Nam. They can't, they remain Kanishtha. They only see, oh, God is in the temple. They don't understand the devotees. They don't understand how to preach to the innocent. when he becomes acquainted with the truth of Sambandhigyan and awakens Ruchi for Shuddha Hari Nam by the mercy of pure devotees, his ignorance will be dissipated and he will attain the status of a Madhya Vaishnava. It is essential that a Madhyam Vaishnav should show mercy upon all the above-mentioned ignorant people. He should treat them as guests, and he should satisfy their needs as far as he is able, but that is not enough in itself. He should act in such a way as to awaken their faith in Ananya Bhakti, pure devotion, and their ruchi, their taste, for the Shuddhanam, chanting with real feeling. This is the real meaning of mercy. The ignorant may be victimized by bad association, may fall down any time because they lack expertise in the Shastra. The Madhyam Vaishnav should always protect such susceptible people from bad association. He should mercifully give them his association and gradually instruct them in spiritual matters and the glories of Shuddhanam. A mentally unbalanced person must be under the care of a physician because he cannot cure himself. Just as one should pardon the anger of a diseased person, so one should also excuse the improper behavior of the ignorant. This attitude is known as mercy. The ignorant may have many misconceptions, such as faith and fruit of activities, karma kanda, occasional inclination towards gyan, speculative knowledge, worship in the deity with ulterior motives, faith in yoga, indifference towards the association of pure Vaishnavas, attachment to Vanashram, and many other things. However, the Kanishtha Adhikari can quickly become a Madhya Adhikari Shuddhabhakta when these misconceptions are dispelled by good association, mercy, and good instructions. Are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna again.
Thank you, Gail. There must always at least be one person. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru
Maharaj. Okay, Govardhan Bhakta and Rajaradhe. Wonderful, good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yes, Maharaj, this is Katya speaking.
Who is this?
Katya from Moscow.
Katya from Moscow. Oh, so
yes.
Nice you listened. Did you enjoy the Bhakti version?
Oh, yes, very much, very much.
Okay, well, thank you. How long are you going to be
thank
in the
you.
States?
I'm leaving the 10th of September, so 11th I'm already in Moscow.
Okay, I will see you there.
Yes, okay. I'm waiting for that.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we will end now.